You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
I heard a story once of two twins. Their father were an alcoholic and grew up very abusive. And later on, the one became very successful and the other brother also became an alcoholic. And they interviewed both of them and they said, "What was the difference? What happened in your life?" And interesting enough, both the brothers gave exactly the same answer. They said, "What did you expect with a father like we had?" So what was the difference in the two brothers? The difference was what they purposed in their hearts, was the vows that they made in their hearts. Amen? Turn to the person next to you, say, "The promises in your heart will affect your destiny." Many people, because of vows that they've made in their hearts, will never be able to accomplish certain things. And many people, because of the vows that they've made, will be able to accomplish certain things. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Listen what the Bible says in Jeremiah 24, verse 7. And this is the verse that I read that God just highlighted. It says, "I will give them a heart to know me." Wow. I will give them a heart to know me. We don't even know God's ways. His ways are not our ways. His way of thinking is not even our thoughts. But God comes and he says, "I will give them a heart to know me. For I am the Lord and they will be my people. And I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart." Wow. God says this is what he is after. I will give them a heart that will know me. To know God is a special grace. Amen? Because all of Christianity is about the heart. A matter of fact, if Christianity is what you are professing to be, it's about the purity of our hearts. A matter of fact, the challenge is to keep that heart pure. Am I talking to the right people here? Faith comes from our heart. We love from our hearts. We hate from our hearts. We carry offenses in our hearts. We bless people from our hearts. And we also curse people from our heart. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? And when I read this, I thought, wow. Friday morning when I thought I had everything sorted out, sermons together, God said, "This is the message that you have to preach." Because in the New Testament, the heart has become the altar. The heart is the communication point. That's why the devil is after your heart. And God wants to sit on the throne of your heart. So, remember we said reaching up. This is a reaching in message. Turn to the person next to you, say, "Buckle up, buddy." It might get bumpy. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because God's word is above everything. This same Jeremiah that says God will give us the grace that we can know him, a heart to know him. He also wrote in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Listen to what he wrote here. He says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." Not one amen now. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." The NASB says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick." Ain't no. Turn to the person next to you, say, "I know somebody with a sick heart, but it's not me." Is this what the Bible says? It says the heart is sick. It needs healing. The Passion Translation says the following. Listen to this. "There is nothing more deceitful than the heart of man who can understand it. Man's heart is sick, in need of healing." Can I have one amen? Amen. He says, man's heart is sick, in need of healing. The good news is that Isaiah prophesied and Jesus declared. He said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to bring restoration. That heart that is sick, I'm going to heal it. Amen. Unfortunately, we allow so many things to come into our hearts. We open the door to so many things. Am I talking to the right people here? Okay. Who got offended this week? Just raise your hand quickly. Okay. Who of you are still offended? Okay. Good. Good congregation. You've let go of it already. Amen. Many of you behave in certain ways, and you don't even know why. You say, I'm going to go and visit this friend or this family member, and I'm going to be nice and polite. And half an hour into the conversation, a bomb explodes. And afterwards you think, what just happened? Because I never wanted to do that. How did that happen? Am I talking to the right people here this morning? You want to be kind, but you end up... Many of these things happen because of vows and promises that you've made in your heart. Ever said, I will never, ever let somebody talk to me like that. And if they do, I will. You fill in the dots. If they ever, ever say this, I'm going to... You fill in the dots. Ever made vows like that? Let me just put it out there. Some of you ladies are still single where you've been in every prayer lounge for a spouse. Some of you gentlemen are still single whereas you've been fasting and praying for the right wife because of vows that you've made. If a woman ever says this to me, and if a man ever, ever, just as ever, just this much ever, he will... Am I talking to the right people here this morning? And you've sabotaged yourself because of vows that you've made in your heart. And those things have become triggers. And you sometimes wonder why you behave in a certain way. But it's because you've programmed your heart and you've made promises to this heart to behave in a certain way. And this heart has become desperately wicked and sick in need of healing. Turn to the person next to you and say, the journey of your heart. This will bring me to our sermon topic for today, the journey of your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the Bible says in Hebrews 4 verse 12 that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can cut in between bone and marrow, soul and spirit, to discern the intents and the thoughts of a man's heart. It teaches us that the spirit and the heart, they are one. Amen? The word of God can cut in between, bring division between your soul, your will, your intellect, your emotions, and your heart. Can discern. David says, he prayed the following prayer. He says, Lord, create in me a pure heart and a contrite spirit. Why? Because it's the same thing. Amen? What you allow to happen here in your heart will affect your spirit. Amen? Turn to the person next to you, say, Jesus loves you more than you know, and he wants to reveal himself so that you would know him in your heart. Amen. So many times, these statements that we make, these vows that we've made in our hearts, they come from a place of hurts. Hurts that originated in our lives. Many times it can be a teacher that says something to a child when he's still in primary school. A parent that says something and hurts a child. And they make vows in their hearts towards authority. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? Sometimes our challenges that we face just sit here. But Jesus said, I've come to heal the broken heart, that I've come to touch your heart, to heal your heart. I think it's very important to know, if you're going to allow God to heal your heart, who of you need some healing of the heart? Just raise your hand. Okay. I think what's very important is to know whether what you are dealing with is a wound or a scratch. You know, sometimes we get scratched and we say, I got ferociously attacked. You know, because we're living in a world that's so oversensitive. Amen. Somebody scratches you, you know, ferociously attacked. You rush into a place and somebody does not greet you. You're extremely rude. No, they were just in a hurry. They were not rude. That's not a wound, amen? So never treat a scratch like a wound, amen? Because then you're always going to be a victim. But I want to say this. Many people are carrying deep wounds. And you're saying, ach, it's nothing. It's a scratch. You're going to have to deal with those deep wounds, amen? Some of you have been living with deep wounds for such a long time that it's become part of your personality, your character. Aina, amen. Scars is that which Jesus has healed. That can become stars, amen. But if you leave a wound, the infection will just become greater, the wound become deeper, and it can eat more flesh away. It can, where you maybe just have one issue, that thing can cause damage in more areas of your life. Turn to the person next to you, say, you're going to have to deal with your wounds. Aina, amen. The good news is Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Can you imagine? The prophet Isaiah prophesies. Says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. We have to preach it. The second thing on the list, heal the brokenhearted. Not bless you, not multiply you, heal your broken heart. Because if your broken heart is healed, everything falls in place. Can I speak to dads quickly? Dads, papas, dadas. You know what the Bible says? Instruction specifically to us as fathers. Specifically, Ephesians 6 verse 4. I'm going to read from the Amplified. It says, fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment. Can I have an amen? Don't irritate them. Don't provoke them. Don't tease them and make them angry. Because that which you think that seems ordinary has an extraordinary effect in their hearts. They can pick up an offense, a scar. Many counseling, and a lot of counseling that we do, majority of the counseling is daddy issues. Don't raise your hand, just double blink at me if I'm talking to the right people here. It's your daddy issues, your mama issues, your family issues that you've got. Words can damage a heart. And sometimes one word that somebody carries in their heart can have an impact on their lives. Actually, for the rest of their lives, it can impact them. The journey of your heart. So from the day you are born, the devil is after your child's heart, to confuse that heart. Not to know who they are, to doubt their parents, to doubt God, to doubt why they are here. The Bible says, out of the heart flows the issues of life. The issues that you are sitting with coming from your heart. Aina, amen. Okay, let me just read a scripture for you to prove that. Proverbs 4. Verse 23 says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. That's what the Passion Translation says. The New King James Translation says, above all things, guard your heart. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, guard your heart. turn to the person on the other side and say, guard your heart. Can I tell you something? Teach your children from a young age, guard your heart. Amen? What I'm going to say now is not biblical. It's just good advice. Thick skin, soft heart. Amen? In this world today, you need a bit of a thick skin. If you want to be on social media, definitely you need a thick skin. Can I have an amen? Or get off, or get a thick skin. Because people these days say what they want to. They say hurtful things on social media. So if social media is affecting the welfare of your heart, get off social media. Because you have to protect your heart above all things. So if you're in social media and it's making your heart heavy, the things that you are reading, get off social media and protect your heart. I think actually there should be an age restriction for children, the age that they're allowed to go onto social media, to be exposed to certain things. Because at a certain age, you cannot handle certain things. That's why the Bible says, don't make jokes with your children. Don't irritate them. Because when they're at a certain age, they don't know the difference between you making a joke and the truth. They see everything as the truth. That's why you cannot do that. That's why you cannot entrust children with certain things at certain ages to make certain decisions. Because they don't have the maturity to do that. The only thing that those decisions will do is damage their hearts. So, what has been flowing from your heart? How do we know what are the issues bothering your heart? You know what's the most amazing thing? Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm going to tell you a secret. Your heart will always snitch on you. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. When your heart has been healed, you can guard the affections of your heart. But when your heart has not been healed, hurting things will come out of a hurting heart. Am I helping some of you here? You know, we want the flow out of this heart to be constant. I want my wife every day to say, I love you. You're amazing. You're the best husband. Or let me do it the other way around. She wants to hear the whole time, you're the most beautiful woman in the whole world. I love you. You're adorable. You're so good. She wants to hear that the whole time. That love flow must be constant. But unfortunately, the world that we live in is not constant. It's not constant. That's why you have to guard and protect your heart. You don't want this heart to become hard. That's why I said thick skin, soft heart. You want to keep this heart soft. Because Jesus gave us an assurance in Luke 17 verse 1. He said, offense will come to everybody. Offense is going to come to every person's heart, whether you like it or not. Whether you are praying 24 hours a day, whether you isolate, it doesn't matter where you find yourself, somehow offense will come to you. If you're on your own and not seeing anybody, you'll get offended with people you don't even know or with family members that or friends that didn't contact you because you're on your own. And if you go out and you meet people, then there's somebody that can offend you. It's so easy to get offended. All you need is an expectation. And if that expectation is not fulfilled, you'll get offended. You can come to church and say, God, if you really love me, as I walk into the church, let the pastor greet me. And here you walk in and you don't even see me, I'm at the back. And you come and sit here. Don't think this church is from God, because if God really loved me, the pastor would have greeted me. I'm not ever coming back. You've set yourself up for failure just through the unrealistic expectation. Amen. If I get to greet you, that was just grace. You were just at the right time when I walked out. Amen. Am I talking to the right people? You know, if John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, could get offended with Jesus, guess what? Maybe we can get offended with Jesus as well sometimes. Am I talking to the right people here? So, this journey of man's heart, There's a lot of betrayals. There's a lot of things happening. You have to guard this heart. Amen. In the book of Romans 5, it talks about that offense came in through one man. But grace was shown through another man. The first Adam, offense came in through him. Let's read it quickly. Just go to Romans 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through one Jesus. Therefore, as though one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Can I just say this? Your simple decision not to take offense can have an impact on a whole nation. Your simple decision not to take offense or to forgive can have an impact on your whole family. Your family can have an impact on that whole family, and so on and so on. We should have a heart that's ready to respond to grace. Show grace because we need grace. Can I have one amen? Can I share your story that you shared? My wife, for the last few weeks, she's just been talking to a lady when she goes somewhere. Just been sharing, and this lady is really offended with her mother. Anybody been offended with a mother or a father? So she's offended with her mother for a long time. Not talking. Children not even seeing each other. And my wife just started sharing with her, forgive. Why don't you be different? Why don't you put the past behind you? Long story short, the family was reconciled because one person made a decision to come and say, let's not talk about the past. Let's move forward. Forget about the past. Let's move forward. One simple decision to forgive and forget and move forward brought a whole family together. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. So let me just put it out there. Offense is going to come to you. You only have two options. Two options. You're either going to forgive and let it go, or you can hold the offense. Here's the truth. Turn to the person next to you. Say, choose your heart. Turn to the person on the other side. Say, choose your heart. I know sometimes certain hurts are more difficult to forgive. I know certain hurts are very deep, but I want to encourage you, don't underestimate the deep work that Jesus did on the cross. Don't underestimate that, but choose your heart. If it's hard to go to the person and to humble yourself, that's hard. Go and do that. If you don't do that, you're going to become bitter. And that's also hard, because when you become bitter, you become grumpy. Okay, let me just show you what happens if you don't forgive. Are you ready for that? Can I have a little bit more time? I know I've been going. Can I just show you quickly? The media team late last night actually put in a lot of effort. So I want to show you. I want to show you the difference that when you forgive and when you don't forgive, what happens and how those things move apart tremendously. Amen. So if you take offense, offense will lead to resentment. So offense in itself is not evil because offense is taken, it's not given. My sister from England is visiting here. She cannot say, I gave her offense as a brother. Maybe did something wrong. She takes offense because I control my heart. I guard my heart. Amen. So offense is not given, it's taken. You take offense. If you take offense, the next thing that will happen is resentment. Resentment. You know what's resentment? Where you start keeping somebody at a distance. When there's resentment, you start keeping at a distance and you don't want to deal it, the next thing that's going to happen is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is in your heart. That's already a very dangerous state of the heart. After unforgiveness, it's bitterness. So that's where we're going to pick up. We're going to pick up on bitterness. Turn to the person next to you and say, bitterness is serious. Because bitterness can cost you your salvation. Hebrews 12 says, be careful lest the root of bitterness springs up and you fall short of the grace of God. And this root of bitterness will cause a lot of trouble. So people that are bitter, they cause trouble and they defile. Bitter people talk bad about other people. So, are you ready for this? So what is the fruit of unforgiveness when there's bitterness? There's number one, there's a breakdown in communication. You stop talking to the person. So it's very easy to see when somebody is offended and bitter. They don't talk to the person. Philip, just come stand here next to me quickly. So when I'm offended with him, he comes into the church and I see him, you know, and I just ignore him. There's a breakdown in communication. He wants to say hello. Okay, let's talk. But the other thing that I also do is I start talking bad about him. Every time I say, have you heard what Peter did? Philip, what an idiot. You know what he did? He did. And you defile. And you're vomiting about every time. Every time I see him, Philip. That's the fruit that you can see. And anybody can see when there's a breakdown in communication. I mean, you can see it with husbands and wives. They'll sit next to each other, but they're like this. Closed arms, you know, body language, even close the legs. Not open at all, you know, when people come and say, we want some counseling, and they come and sit there like this. Even they can even turn their body sideways, you know, then you know it's like, see, okay. Don't need a prophetic word. I can see, okay. The root when that happens is bitterness. Bitterness in the heart, okay. Leviticus 19, verse 17 says, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. Hebrews 12, I've just quoted that previously. So the fruit or the upward growth of forgiveness, when my heart is soft, I say to him, in our disagreement, there's agreement. Can we just quickly sit, my brother? What happened here? Can you talk to me quickly? And if he's planted in the house and I'm planted in the house, there's nothing we cannot sort out. He doesn't have to get his tail in a curl and say, I'm leaving the church, I'm never coming back because you didn't greet me or you didn't whatever. And we can sit and we know that disagreement brings agreement. Amen. And you can see when brothers have that love and they can talk things out. Amen. And the root of that is the love for Christ, the love for God's word. Amen. Matthew 6:14, if you forgive people when they sin, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Ephesians 4:31, haha, I love this. Lay all bitterness aside. If you're a Christian, lay bitterness aside. Verse 32, as Christ has forgiven you, forgive. How do I forgive him? Not the way that I feel. Sometimes, who of you have ever felt like you cannot forgive somebody? Just be honest. So you're not supposed to forgive the way that you forgive. Imagine Jesus forgave you the way that you forgive. Father, I've come to you. Please forgive me. I've messed up. Let me just think about this. This is going to take a week. Am I talking to the right people here? No, have the mind of Christ and forgive quickly. Amen. So that's what happens. So if you keep bitterness in your heart, the next thing that will happen, the fruit that will start to manifest is ungratefulness. People that don't forgive become ungrateful. Always complaining about everything. Why did they pack the chairs now like this again? Why is it blue chairs and gray carpet? Shouldn't be blue, you know, and always, you know, and they complain about every single thing. Is this now a cappuccino? A cappuccino is supposed to be more foam than the, you know, and they complain about every single thing, you know. Should a pastor not have a tie? Should he have, you know, every single thing they complain about. The healthiest of all emotions is gratefulness. The healthiest. So you can immediately see when somebody is offended and that bitterness, they're ungrateful about anything. The music was too long. The music is too loud. Shouldn't it be two hymns? And, you know, it's just it's just nothing is ever, they're just complaining about everything. Amen. But a heart that is ready to forgive, a grateful heart that can resolve every situation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful to make a way out of every temptation. You know that God is going to make a way. Doesn't matter how difficult that situation, God is going to make a way. Thank you, Jesus. You in control of my life. Even if it looks like everything is out of control, you can make a way. Amen. Am I talking to the right people here? Are you identifying some things here? Hallelujah. If you keep self-pity in your heart, that ungratefulness, it's because of self-pity. I'm the victim. Nothing works out. Everybody hates me. I'm going to buy some worms and just eat the worms and, you know. So if you keep that self-pity victim mentality, the next thing that's going to happen, you're going to become very stubborn. My brother, let's go talk. No, leave me alone. And you become stubborn and you start stonewalling somebody. Stubbornness. Can we just talk? No, leave me alone. What they did is unforgivable. Not even God can forgive them. And you just, that stubbornness, and you isolate yourself, is what the Bible says. And when you isolate yourself, you start raging against all wise judgment. You know, 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, Obadiah 1, verse 3, you can go read that. But if you forgive, you'll see that humility, a humble heart that will come and say, let me just hear what you've said. What have I done wrong? Amen? What is it that I've done wrong? Humility. Humility is a total dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. James 4 verse 6 says, draw near to me and humble yourself, and God shows grace to the humble. So can you see what happens when you start getting stubborn and difficult? You think you're a Christian, but you're actually drawing further and further away from God. But when you're walking in humility and forgiveness, you can draw closer to God. Am I talking to some Christians here? You know, at one stage, I was a young pastor in my 20s, late 20s. Every time I wanted to worship, there was a pastor's face in front of me. Have you ever experienced that? You want to have a worship moment with your lovely Jesus. I adore. And this face is here in front of me. Rebuke you, devil. Get away. And then I realized I'm offended with this pastor. Has that ever happened to anybody? And I had to go, Mike, right. And guess what? Then I didn't see his face anymore, and I could see the face of Jesus again. Amen. But sometimes we get so spiritual instead of just listening to our hearts. Amen. Let me tell you, the results of disobedience, look at Eve, the results of disobedience is always much more severe than just being obedient. Her disobedience got her kicked out of the garden, whereas her obedience would have just kept her with what she had. So for you to continue to experience God's presence that's so precious, look at your heart. Just turn to the person next to you and say, I don't feel like saying amen. I'm going to say ana. Don't be so serious. Amen. Now I'm getting to the tough part. Now I'm beginning to the serious part. Amen. So we. Stubbornness, humility. So if you start to reject authority in your heart because of the stubbornness, because the stubbornness, if you manifest outside, it's because on the inside you're saying, I'm not going to listen to the word of God. You say we should talk and make sort these things out. No, I know better. You establishing yourself as the authority now. And now nobody can speak into your life because you've made yourself the authority. When you start to reject authority, the next thing that will happen is open rebellion. And we see so much of that, open rebellion. Why is that? Because you establish yourself as the authority. So first you reject the authority, then you see the open rebellion that will manifest, and you establish yourself as the authority. Isaiah 14 verse 12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt, I will sort them out, I will never again, I will. Am I talking to the right people? Whenever there's a I will, pride. And Obadiah 1 verse 3 says, the pride of my heart has deceived me. Now it becomes very slippery. Because if your heart deceives you, you think you're doing the right thing. You think stonewalling this person is the right thing. You think punishing him is the right thing. But all that bitterness is I'm drinking the poison and I'm waiting for him to die. That's what it is. I'm drinking the poison, I'm waiting for him to die. Is that going to happen? It's not going to happen. So you see that open rebellion, but on the other side, you see a life submitted to God. A life submitted to God. James 4 verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Amen? Can we take it up one notch? Are you ready for that? When you establish yourself as the authority, the next thing is the wrong things, agreement and rebellion. The agreement and rebellion, the next thing is you'll start to defend that which is wrong. And you start to judge people. That's what starts to happen. You carry this on the inside and you start judging people. You know what Romans 2 verse 1 says? It says, therefore you're inexcusable. For whosoever or whatsoever you judge, you condemn yourself because you start practicing the same things. Don't fight me. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You know, when you start associating with people like that, you know, bitterness attracts bitterness. Bitter, angry people attract bitter, angry people. Ain't no? That's the truth. So bad company corrupts good morals. The company you keep influences your thinking. Your thinking influences your actions. Your actions influences your character. And your character determines your destiny. Your destiny is linked to forgiveness. Because once you forgive, you are linked to Jesus. Amen. So we start to love. If you walk with forgiveness in your heart, you don't hang out with the wrong friends. You love the brotherhood. You love the brotherhood. Am I helping some of you here? Can we go just two more? Then I'm going to close. When you start to defend the wrong, it's based, the root cause for that is the deep inward guilt. I've quoted that for you, Romans 2 verse 1. But on the upward growth of forgiveness, people will start to celebrate truth and have compassion for all people. 1 Corinthians 13, 6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. 1 John 1, verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. The last thing, if you don't deal with that bitterness, the fruit that you will start to see is mood extremes. Mood extremes. People that cannot control their emotions because of what's going on in their heart. When there's hatred in your heart, you've purposed and you've said, there is now no room for forgiveness. So now I come with an attitude towards, I say, you, Philip, you are going to feel what I feel on the inside. Am I talking to the right people here? And every time you see that person, you want to do something to them. Job says, my soul loathes my life. I will give three course of my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. If you hate your brother, you've become a murderer, is what the Bible says. I'm not here to sugarcoat it, but this is the gospel. Don't play with an offense. Don't play with bitterness. Because that downward root will play with your emotions and the devil will have a heyday with you. But because of the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the Bible warns us it's the one place where we can fall short of the grace of God. If you don't want to show grace, you are playing with grace. God's grace is enormous. But get to a place and purpose in your heart to forgive those that have wronged you. Can I have one amen? Are you guys that offended? Don't make me feel like Jeremiah the prophet that's going to get stoned by the people because I'm telling you the truth today. Amen? But you know what? When you walk in forgiveness, then you can love God and you can love people. Because when this is affected, This is affected. I cannot love this way. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen? Matthew 5 says, love your enemies. If he then does not want to forgive me and he wants to remain my enemy, the Bible says God gives us the grace that I can love my enemy, that I can pray for him. Amen? That even if he despitefully uses me, I'm going to pray for him and bless him. Thank you, Philip. Go have a seat. Love you, brother. Give me a hug. I'm not angry with him. He's not angry with me. I hope I've shaken your cage. Because Christianity, I'm going to close now. Christianity is about the purity of our hearts. And we've watered it so down to make it all about experiences on the outside, but God is looking at our hearts. God can see here if you are singing songs this morning or if you're drawing close with your heart, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Jeremiah 29:11, you know it all. I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Let me tell you something. The things that God is thinking about you, yes, he wants to bless you, but more than anything, he wants you to draw close to him with all your heart. God is looking for people of heart. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is looking for people of heart. The enemy wants to fill your heart with bitterness, with unforgiveness, with envy, with jealousy, with every ugly thing. But God wants to sit at the throne of your heart. Many of the problems that we have and we face is because we don't give Jesus the rightful place in our hearts. Seek the Holy Spirit with all your heart. I want a church that will be ready for Jesus without spot and wrinkle. And I realize if that's the church that he is looking for, this is the messages that we have to preach. If I preach next week on the journey of the heart, part two, who will come? I'm going to preach part two. And if you think this was cutting, oh my word. I was not planning on preaching part two. This morning, God said to me, there's a part two. I'm not even going to tell you the sermon topic because you're going to run away, or what it's about because you'll run away. But if you want to be ready for Jesus, if you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, if you want to be washed by his word, come and bring people next week. Amen? May God, yes, give the Lord a hand. I'm closing with one scripture. By the grace of God. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord, your God, with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You have to trust God with all your heart. But that's when your heart is viewing everything in the light of God's word. This is the secret so that your heart can be pure. Because if you want to see God, Matthew 5 verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart for they will see God. That's a requirement to see God is a pure heart. The grace that God gave to us with the scripture in Jeremiah, he says, I will touch their hearts. I will give them. I will turn their hearts. I will give them a heart that will know me. Wow. Let me tell you something. If you know God, that special grace that God has given us, may God fill our hearts with his love until it overflows to others. May God touch our hearts. May our hearts be connected to the Spirit of God. If your heart is not connected to the Spirit of God, how will you be able to preserve that which God gives you in the Spirit? Amen? Heart is the life of man, but love is the life of the heart. Did you hear what I said? Heart is the life of man, but love is what gives life to the heart. That's why your heart needs to be filled with the love of God. May God fill our hearts with his love until it overflows to others. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.